Straight Talk on WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, Manning Kimmel.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. My name is Manning Kimmel. The program is called Straight Talk. We do it every weekday afternoon, talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, TKK, the great county of York, and everything else up and down I-77. And we do it right here on WRHI, South Carolina's eighth-time radio station of the year. Our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And, of course, HighSpeedWeb.net, that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, today on the radio program, you better pay close attention to this, because if you pay taxes, if you pay taxes on your house or on your personal property, the man who makes that possible, the guy that you want to just throw darts at his picture every year when the tax bill comes in, is here with us today. Is that not a great introduction, Rick Jensen?
I'm telling you, it couldn't have been better. I appreciate that, man.
Rick, of course, is the York County Tax Assessor, and his job, we're going to learn about it today. But first of all, Rick, tell us a little bit about you, because you're the first, this is the first time you've been on the show.
Well, thank you for having me here today. Again, my name's Rick Jansen, and I started in this business about 26 years ago in Aiken County, and I've been here in York County since October of 2017. I'm married, and we have four children and four granddaughters, and we are really enjoying York since we've been here.
Well, you know, of course, you are now living where the earth begins and ends. You couldn't have not picked a better place.
Come on. I understand. I'm seeing that every day.
Yeah. So you've been in the assessing business all these years?
Yes, sir.
Whew.
Yes, sir.
All right. So your job, to do your job for the all of your county, you've got how many people in the assessor's office?
We have 26.
26 people.
Right.
I'm surprised you can do it with 26 people. But what you do is on a, I guess, let's just say a regular basis. You are evaluating what things, what the value of things are, and sending out tax notices?
Basically, yes. I like to always talk about our duties and responsibilities in these three categories.
All right.
We identify, we classify, and we value all the real property and mobile homes in York County. Now, by identification, what I mean is that we're responsible for actually knowing who owns a piece of property. And also, we identify it by its map. We have mappers on staff that actually parcel out and map the property for who owns what, you know, who owns that piece of property. We identify it by looking at the recorded deeds and we report it as such. We classify it according to the assessment ratio, whether it's their legal residence or whether it's not their legal residence, whether it's commercial and whatever. And then, of course, we value all the property. We're responsible for valuing all the property in the county.
All right. Now, that's a lot of pieces. So let's take these one at a time. When
sure.
you say you identify,
right?
All right, if we go up and down, let's just take a look at Cherry Road.
Okay.
Most of the properties on Cherry Road you would classify as commercial properties?
Correct.
All right. But if you might find a house or two that has frontage, so that's going to be identified as a residential.
Correct.
Okay. Now, you're doing that simple identification simply to figure out what the tax rate should be for them?
Correct. In South Carolina, we have all property is assessed at a 6% ratio unless it's your legal residence. If it's your legal residence and you apply for it, then you're granted a 4% assessment ratio.
Right.
So that's kind of where what we're talking about when we're talking about classification. We need to classify it as either at 6% ratio or 4% ratio.
Now, there are lots of people who own investment property. Mm-hmm. It may be two or three or four houses that they have for rental. Mm-hmm. And you're going to, how will you know whether those properties are not owner-occupied but are there for investment purposes? How do you know that?
Well, in order to obtain that special 4% classification, you must make application for it with our office. Last year, we reviewed probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 8,600 applications for 4% legal residence. And there's a process and a requirement to meet those requirements as to your legal residence before we grant it. You have to prove that you actually are domiciled at that particular location.
Well, that, of course, how many times a year do you have people who are trying to convince you that they are occupying and owning the house, but really that's not the case? That does, I would imagine, pop up.
Well, that has happened. The statute is very clear that you can only have one legal residence, and it must be in South Carolina, okay,
right,
in order to obtain that. If you are found out that that is not it, it is an extremely hefty penalty involved there. Once we find this out, the penalty is what you've already paid in 4% taxes. We rebill you for the years that we find that you were not there, and we can go up to 3 years of back payment at 6%.
Now, the value of that particular property that we're talking about, would it have a different value if it were an investment property versus a owner-occupied? Be the same.
If it's residential property, okay, in that particular location, is probably going to go whether it's owner-occupied or not.
All right. So there's one 4% per human being or per
right.
couple or whatever.
Right.
Well, that raises an interesting question. Do you have people who say, all right, I own this house in my name. Mm-hmm. That's 4%. But my wife owns this property in her name. And that's 4%.
Mm-hmm.
That don't fly.
That doesn't. We've actually had that. In fact, we were investigating a case from another county. The state audits the counties on this, the State Department of Revenue. And we had a case where someone owned a piece of property in Colleton County in the beach area. And also one here, we did some investigating. And there was a possibility of a total penalty for this of over $200,000 penalty.
Oh, I'm sure.
But come to find out, there was some issues and other things that occurred, so we didn't have to penalize them for that. But we do find out. Once you apply, there's an investigation that we do to verify those facts that's presented to us. Also, too, on every application, you certify that not only you, but no member of your immediate household has or is receiving 4% in any other location. So
now, I know there's lots of people who have second homes down along the coast. And those homes normally are going to be more expensive homes than homes that are here in Rock Hill. I know for a fact that there are people, because they're retired, who will keep both homes, but will go through the process of establishing their residency at the coast simply because they want the 4% rate down there, because of the values being so much higher, and they're willing to take the 6% up here. You can do that, right?
If that's where they're legally domiciled.
And how do you define? How do you define legally domiciled?
Well, there are certain things that we require to prove that out. Driver's license, South Carolina income tax return, other items that we would possibly include would be like voter registration information. If they're retired, we may require them to give us their Social Security, assuming their Social Security information. That would show where they're receiving their checks at and where they're notified. There's different various ways that we can verify that data. So
And believe me, because I have some friends that have gone through this process, it will be verified, if not by you, your counterpart down there at the coast, because they want to make sure that they're not getting no misrepresentations
right.
going on.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And they will haul you in and say, okay, let's take a look at what you said with your driver's license. Where's your mail being received?
Right.
And you're supposed to live there 6 months, at least 6 months,
well,
plus one day or something.
Well, actually, it's your legal domicile. Now, what right. it will allow, the statute allows for you to rent your home 72 days of the year only, tops.
Okay.
And that's we can verify that by their income tax return for what they get or sure. report in rents. So.
All right. So the first leg of the thing is to identify. Then you go about classifying.
Right.
Now, that means what?
Well, that's what we were just talking right. about, was classification of whether it's 4% or whether it's a 6% property,
okay.
basically. The type property is commercial, residential, and the like.
Okay. Now, the big enchilada.
Okay.
The big one that everybody, this is where everybody said, why, is the value that you're putting on these properties.
All right.
Now, I know a lot of people, when the economy went boom in 2008, were expecting your department to send them out tax notices that reflected a general decline in values.
Right.
That really didn't happen a whole lot.
No.
Why? They didn't like that when they got those notices.
Well, that's the statute requires that every county in South Carolina reassess their county values as of a specific point in time every 5 years. And typically that what we call an effective appraisal date is 12/31 of the year of your reassessment. Our last reassessment was completed and valued as of 12/31 of 2014. And the new values were implemented and mailed out in 2015. Like this time, our ending reassessment period is 2019, 12/31, and we're going to be sending out new assessment notices next year with the new valuations for reassessment in 2020.
All right. You, in 2014, 2015, whatever, you sent me a notice, and my house was worth X amount of dollars. Now, for that next 4 years, does that value stay the same, or are you adjusting that on an annual basis?
We only adjust the properties that change due to some reason, such as new construction, remodel, that would affect value, basically. If it sells under the statutes, we're required to review the property and bring it to its current market if it's considered to be an assessable transfer of interest.
Now, how are you going to know... I think I know the answer to this. How are you going to know whether I've done whatever, an upfit to my house, or I've done, I put a bonus room on or something like that? You're going to know that through permitting of some kind?
Permitting, yeah. We get permits. The municipalities that do their permitting and the county does permitting are required to give us a copy or send us information on the permits.
Right.
And we get those every day or weekly or however it turns around and gets this to us. And then we have appraisers that review those permits, making field reviews and actually going out and seeing what's been done to these properties. And we'll update it based upon the permit information and what they view out in the field.
Now, I'm sure there are lots of people who would not think that they would need a permit to, let's say, put an above-ground pool or an in-ground pool in their backyard. True?
I'm sure there's some out there like that.
Yeah.
Of course, it is required, and of course, that's part of planning. The planning department and permitting office handles all that part of it.
And if you're using a licensed contractor, they're going to get that permit.
Correct.
But if you're going to do this on your own, you might think that you're going to be able to escape that notification. But the fact is, sooner or later, you're going to find out they put that pool back
That's
there.
Correct.
And
in fact, I'll tell you a little feature, a little tool, or an application that we're getting this reassessment.
We have drones flying across the sky. Good
no,
idea.
We're not there. But we have flyovers, that are required by the state. And flyovers being actual flyovers that get a topography or orthopictometry that views the properties from above, and that's required for every county to do this. And you have to do it at a minimum of every 10 years. All right, there's a special tool now, an application that we're using. It's called ChangeFinder, and it's a special program that looks at the footprint of the improvements on the property, and it will compare to the last known footprint that it was given, and if there's any changes to that, it brings it to our attention.
How often is that going to happen?
Well, we're just getting that this year. We did that back in, I think it was before I came, I think it was around 13 or 14 that it was done, and then we're doing it again this year.
But the flyover, you said, is required.
Oh, it's every 10 years. But we've been doing that pretty regularly. I think we've done it in 14. We did it in 16.
All right.
We just did it
in 19.
So you
can do it more often.
Right.
What is it, a satellite picture or something?
No. It's an actual plane that flies over the counties, all over the whole state.
And you think that they're spraying for mosquitoes. And they're out there taking pictures of the property.
It's a requirement that's done for the whole statewide state. All the counties do that.
So if you put that pool in the backyard and you didn't get a permit,
eventually we're going to see it.
Somebody's going to see it.
Right. And, you know, that's pretty much what Google does now. You know,
yeah.
Google's been doing that for years, too. So.
All right. Tell you what, we're going to take our mid-program break. Okay. Remind everybody that they are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, Rick, you don't know anything about this, but here at Substation 2, we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. And there's a magical way we do it. It's right here in these white letters, and we all say it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Slice. Garden. All right, not bad. Well, warm me up for next time. Back after these words.
News and information that matters to you. This is Straight Talk.
Relax. Love your car payment with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, flexible terms, low rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit relaxjoinfounders.com or one of our more than 30 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Love your car payment with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Hectic schedule? In a rush? Now you can order your favorite Substation 2 sub or salad online and skip the line. Just go to MySubstationII.com, click on the online order tab, place your order, and come and get it. That's MySubstationII.com. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Just like people, no two hearts are exactly the same. That's why Piedmont Medical Center's new, expanded team of cardiovascular specialists collaborate on an individualized care plan for every heart they encounter, from preventative treatment all the way through surgery and rehab. Their easy-to-navigate care system provides compassionate, personal attention from their passionate team of specialists. You're in good hands at York County's Heart Hospital. To make an appointment with one of our cardiovascular specialists, visit mypmcheart.com or call 844-870-1499 today.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-thru with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. If you've got property out there, you need to pay attention to this program. Rick Jensen is with us. He is the York County Tax Assessor, and we're going through this step by step by step by step as to how they do what they do. Three steps: they identify the property, they classify the property, and now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty, which is how do they go about valuing the property. Okay, so you've done all this work, and you're about ready to get into a reassessment once again. How do you know what to value my house for? I mean, if my house was X 5 years ago, how do you come up with what the addition to the X should be?
Well, that's a very good question.
It's a Ouija board. Is that what you do?
No. Let me backtrack just a little bit. On our staff, we have appraisers, real estate appraisers, and they are actual certified real estate appraisers. They do the same type of work that someone who comes out to your house to value it for mortgage purposes.
Okay.
We're licensed and certified by the South Carolina LLR. Now, in their approach to value, they study the market for the particular areas that they're responsible for. And what they will do is they'll go out and study the sales and analyze the sales, good arm's length transactions, and then they can come back and evaluate what particular properties are going for. There are three approaches to value, three known approaches to value. There's a cost approach, there's a sales comparison approach, and there's an income approach. Our commercial properties and our commercial appraisers usually utilize, most of the time, they utilize the income approach to value because the market will, market price will be dependent on what kind of income stream comes in from a commercial property.
Okay.
Residential properties are best used for a sales comparison approach. Your appraiser that comes out and appraise your house for mortgage purposes will look at three or four or five properties specific and compare that to your property. We don't have that luxury of only being able to look at one piece of property, so we have to do it on a mass basis. So what we will utilize is a cost approach to value, that those cost units are based upon the sales market itself. In other words, we will come up with unit cost tables based upon the quality of the homes, the size of the home, and then employ that throughout that specific area to arrive at a value.
That all sounds pretty simple, but it can't be that simple.
Then we'll come back after that, and then we'll kind of make a statistical review of that. And whenever we do a reassessment, the state, we're required to submit that reassessment to the state, and they will review that and statistical grant us an approval to implement our reassessment or not.
So, in other words, they've got to review your data before and pass grace over before you can send out the notice.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, we all know in real estate the three rules of real estate: location, location. Oh yeah, and location. So if I have a two- or three-bedroom house that is out in the country versus a two- or three-room house, same thing, you know, brick, that kind of thing, that's located in Wedgewood, those have got to be two totally different values.
Totally different market. And we analyze the market for in that specific subdivision or what we call neighborhoods.
Okay.
The appraisers will look at their specific neighborhoods and come up with the values and cost tables and analysis based upon what's in that neighborhood.
So to use, you know, Wedgewood as another example.
Sure.
You would take a look at what's going on in Wedgewood as far
Correct.
As values.
Correct.
And apply that to each
Right.
one of the houses
Right.
that's in there. All right.
If it's something out in the rural area, we may have to, you know, Wedgewood is kind of compacted in a certain area.
Right.
But if we go out into, the rural area, we may have to actually increase our scope of land to look at a bigger area in order to come up with some sales information or market analysis.
All right. But you would, using Wedgewood again as an example, you would look at transactions in Wedgewood.
Right.
houses that have been sold, right. What's happened to them.
Yeah, and it's kind of the basic, you know, if you think about it in terms of how to value a home, well, it's what sold most recently.
Right.
And that's kind of what we do. That we just look at the historical sales data for that particular area based upon what type of home, what the quality level is, and come up with a value that way.
Then, of course, let's say the value of the house is $200,000.
Okay.
That's the value of the house, but that's not the assessed value, is it? That's the market value.
Well, that is the market value. There are actually three values that we have to keep up with. There's the market value.
Right.
There is the limited taxable value. And then, of course, what you're referring to is the assessed value.
Right.
Now, the market value is what we have arrived at our opinion of what this property is worth.
Gotcha.
Or what its value.
Right.
The limited taxable value came only into being when we had Act 388 come in 2006, where the increase in value between reassessments are limited to a 15% increase. So if you've been in a home for a period of time over these reassessments, and it's going to be limited to an increase of 15%, then assessed value is the product of your limited taxable value times your assessment ratio is your assessment.
Well, if you all understand that, you're better off than me. But the bottom line is there's going to be a difference between what the market value is and the assessed value.
Correct.
And then the rate, you know, the tax rate, which is set by the county council, is set to roll that. All right. Now, what happens about when there's a transfer of a property? Let's say that I own the house when the last assessment was done, and several years later somebody else owns that house. You're going to find that out how?
Okay. That's in the part that where we have to identify. We have to maintain the current ownership.
Okay.
And the way we do that is we look at every single recorded deed that occurs that is recorded in the Register of Deeds office for the county. Last year, we actually reviewed over 13,000 deeds and updated our property records. And we do this daily. This is a daily function of our office that we have actually deed analysts that review the deeds and update the records accordingly.
And you got 26 people.
Right.
They're doing all of this. How many properties are you fooling with in your county? Residential, commercial, I mean, industrial.
At last count, which was as of for 2019, we had 121,000 parcels approximately. Almost 122,000, actually.
Whew. Now, of course, that's everything. It could be a vacant piece of land.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
122,000 parcels.
And about 80, I think the last time I counted it up, about 89,000 actually had improvements on it. So there's a fair amount that's vacant land still.
And very quickly, you got about 10 seconds left. Once that comes out, you got the right to appeal if you don't think what you did is right.
That's correct.
All right. And there's a process that's defined very quickly, very simply on the card as to how to go about
that. That's right.
Quickly, what percentage of people will do that, would you guess?
That's hard to say.
5%?
Maybe. Probably less than that.
That's much. All right. Well, Rick Jansen, very interesting program. I don't know how you keep up with all that stuff. That's crazy. We'll do this again. When the assessments all come out and everybody's calling me, what are you doing?
I'll probably be here again. I'd love to come and talk with you again anytime.
All right, Rick. Thanks for all that you do. Rick Jansen, the York County Tax Assessor, our guest today on our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Mille Lacs, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, Rick, you are a certified member now of the Straight Talk Club, and you know that we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2 in a magical way. And we do it how? 1, 2, 3? Slice. Garden. Not bad, everybody. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.